Now, you know this story. On the day before this particular story here in verse 22, Jesus was hungry and he went to curse a fig tree because it didn't have figs. And I like to think that, you know, Jesus being raised in that area, don't you think he would have known there would have been figs on the tree? I think so. And so he cursed this fig tree because it didn't have fruit and he was hungry. And also, when you think about this, Jesus expects, or God expects, everything that he created to do what? Produce, bear fruit. And so when this tree was supposed to bear fruit and it didn't, at the direction of his father, he cursed it. And so Peter here on the morrow or the next day is calling remembrance to the master. And he said, "Master, look at the tree that you cursed. It's dried up from the root." And so what happened? And Jesus answering saith unto them, he said, "Have faith in God." So he was saying, also we want to make a point here that Jesus did nothing or said nothing without direction from the Father. So it would have been a good time if it was only something that he could have done, then it would have been an opportune time for him to say, when Peter reminded him, he would have said, "Well, Peter, I'm the only one that can do that." But he didn't say that. He said, "Have faith in God." And then he continued and said, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever," that would have included them, "whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and do what? And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So faith here, the determinant here is that it has to come from the heart. You cannot doubt, right? And also, faith requires that you say something. That's what he said right here. He said, "If you will doubt not and say that the things that you believe will come to pass, you'll have it." And so it's more, you know, you hear folks say, "Well, faith doesn't work." Well, it doesn't work because maybe you say, "Well, I believe that," but then you turn around and say something different that you believe. This is exactly what the Bible's saying here. If you doubt not in your heart, but say or believe that the things that you say shall come to pass. So it's important that there's agreement between what you believe in your heart and what you say. Because if you believe something in your heart and then say something different, it won't work. And therein lies why a lot of times things don't work. And I'm not saying that that's the only reason, but it can be a reason why you say you could have started believing and then turned around and started doubting or say something different than what you originally started to believe. We've all been there. We've all started in faith. We've all believed something, and then a year goes by, 2 years go by, 5 years go by, 10 years go by, and we begin to say something different than what we believed. Is it not true? It's true. We've all been there. We kind of unhook, or we let go, or we start thinking, "I guess it's not working." Yes, it was working. Yes, it was. It was working. Amen. Think about God. God is a faith God. He got to have some kind of faith just to believe through the eons of time that his will would be accomplished. Right? Dealing with us. So I just want to focus on this. Have faith in God. It's important to remember that it's not just having faith in the Bible. It's not just having faith in principles. It's having faith in God. When you have faith in God, I'm telling you, you're not moved as easily. See? You have faith in him. I want you to do something for me. I like to do this every now and then. Hold up your Bible for a second. Just hold, if you got an electronic Bible, hold that up. But just hold this up. Yeah, most have electronic. That's all right. But just say this.
My Bible
is God speaking to me. That's what it is. Say that again. My Bible is God speaking to me. See, sometimes you have to stop. It's not just words on a page. It's God speaking to me. And when people say, well, God don't speak to me, I guess you don't read the Bible then. Because, yes, God does speak to us, but the primary way that he speaks to us is right here. And that means when you read this, we need to be reverent. This is God speaking to me. Hallelujah. So when God says, have faith in God, that's God speaking to me. He's telling me, have faith in me. Isn't that true? Sometimes we need to just not be so complex with things and just say, this is God speaking to me. And the reason I say it like that is because faith comes by hearing and hearing from or by the word of God. Or you could say faith comes from God.
Amen.
And by hearing God. So I get faith from hearing God. When he speaks to me, I get faith. It does something to me. Amen. So, and I say it like that because faith comes from not just hearing God, but knowing his will. When I hear him, I know what his will is, and I get faith. Faith comes by knowing his will. See? So, why don't you turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. So you can't just have faith or believe in something. You couldn't say, I believe Pastor Ed's coming over to do this for me. Really? You can believe all you want. Pastor Ed's coming over to cook me dinner. You can believe all you want, honey. But if I didn't tell you that I was going to do that, you can believe all you want. And that's my point, that if you did not get an affirmation from the author of this promise, You can believe I'm going to do whatever. You can say God's going to do this. You can believe all you want. But if you don't find it in this word, and you don't get something, a direction from him, you're not going anywhere. That's not faith. That's presumption. On your part. You're presuming I'm going to do something for you, but you didn't get my promise. I did not tell you that I was going to do that. So that's a presumption on your part. And there's a lot of people that presume that God is this, or God is that, or God's going to do this, or God's going to beat up people. He's mad at people. You don't know God. Where did you find that in his word? That's God speaking to me. Right? And it's no different in, you're just using a natural example. Without somebody telling you they're going to do something, you're presuming. See? But faith comes by hearing from God. That's how faith comes. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed." Now look at the next portion of this verse. It says, "For I know whom I have believed." I know whom I have believed. And then what else did he say? And am what? Persuaded. Why is he persuaded? Because he knows him. And that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He didn't say, "I think I believe." He said, "I know whom I have believed." Hallelujah. "And am persuaded." That's faith. Right there. That's another word for faith. You could say, "And I have faith that he is able," or "I am convinced that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So, by knowing something, or knowing him, faith comes. You know the will of God. And so here, this epistle is saying, Paul's saying, "I know him." Well, I guess if you were translated to the third heaven, I guess you do know him. More so than others, intimately. So our faith ought to be in him, or knowing him, and not just faith in, you know, some folks, I'll say it this way, you know, folks, and you've heard this, I have, you know, if we work hard enough, we can accomplish anything. Wrong. Now, nothing wrong with hard work, but you could work 5 jobs and still come up short. You could work 2 jobs, 3 jobs. I've done it. And all I got was tired. See, but when you have faith in God, if he directs you to work 2 or 3 jobs, then you go do that. And he will give you the grace and the stamina and the ability to do that. But if he didn't tell you to do that, you're just going to be tired and really not achieving, because what you're doing is you're having faith in works. You have faith in working hard, not faith in God. Because when I have faith in God, I know him, I have intimate relationship with him, and he begins to direct me what to do, what not to do. I remember a period in my life, I had a lot of bills. I didn't create the bills. It was a situation I was in, but I was responsible for the bills. And so I had to work a couple of jobs. And during that time, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to quit this second job and go to Bible study on Wednesday nights. And I'm like, hello, bill collectors are calling, there's mess. I said, hello, you know, but I obeyed. And it was hard to the flesh, but I obeyed and things worked out. That's all I'm going to say about that. Don't need to elongate that. But things began to work in my favor because I obeyed. Now, if I had continued, I don't know what kind of favor and grace would have been extended to me to clear the path for all of this stuff that needed to be cleaned up. So that's all I'm saying is that get direction from God. Let him speak to you in whatever situation you're in. Could be health, could be money, could be family, whatever it is. Let him give you direction as to what to do. That's the point of knowing him. What does it say here? See, whatever situation it's in, it's I need to know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he's able. You could just stop right there. That he's able to do what? Get me through this. Walk me through this. He's able. And I'm persuaded about it. Why? Because I got direction from him. I know him. See? And that's important as we live life. So, some folks... Even we'll go as far as saying, I have faith in prayer. Now that's good, but I think it's better to have faith in the one who answers my prayer. Right? Nothing wrong with having faith in prayer, but I want to know the one who answers my prayer. I'm going to have faith in him. Because even in the Bible, Jesus had some things to say about in the Gospels about vain repetitions. He wasn't pleased with it. So I think, it's important. I'm saying all of that to say, let's have faith in him. Even during the Gospels, Jesus approached a man and he said, Lord, I've done all of these things. The rich young ruler, he said, I've done all of these things. He said, I want to follow you. And he said, good, you want to follow me? Sell everything you have. And what happened? He went away sad. So where was his faith? He didn't say he would never have money. He just said, get rid of what you have. And his faith was in his money. He went away sad. So it appears that his faith was in his money, not in him that gave him the direction. And we've all been there. Quit your job and go over here. I'll tell you, if you've never had that happen to you, you'll find out where your faith is real quick. When God speaks to you to go do something, I remember when I first, when the Lord began to stir in my heart and began to move upon my heart to quit my job that I've been on for about 12 years or so. I had a very good job. I worked in management. I oversaw a team of programmers where I was, and I had worked myself up in the business. And God said, quit your job and go work in the ministry. And so he'd already been making me a little unsatisfied, so that wasn't news. But what was news to me is I didn't know what they were going to pay me here. And when I found out, I had to take a deep breath. I had to take a deep breath. And so that's what happens when God begins to move on your heart to go in some different directions. You'll find out if your faith is in him or something else. Real quick. Because sometimes people get cold feet and they'll say, I don't know, I'm not sure I want to do this or not. And you begin to find out. But, you know, even in my situation, I had saved a good amount of money. I had money in the bank. And I had saved quite a bit. And I said, when I found out, I said, oh, no problem. I'll live on my savings. But you see, that's dumb because that just showed my immaturity at that time of not exercising my faith in calling money in. I figured I'll just live on my money. Well, when it ran out, I had to go back to him. I had to go back to him who gave me the direction to leave. But now I had none. And I couldn't live on what I was making. So he gave me some directions. He said, call in a certain amount of money a week over and above what you're making. He knew that's where my faith was. So he told me, call in an extra $100 a week. And I did. And it came in. So those are the kind of things that, you know, God is looking for from us in our everyday walk. Get direction from him, seek him, know him, have intimate relationship with him, and he'll lead you. See? He'll guide you. So God is faithful. He's faithful. Why don't you turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Why don't we go to Hebrews 1 first? Hebrews chapter 1. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 11. And then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll back up a few verses. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at the first verse. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? Things not seen. So here's something we can be, this word substance can be used, the word confidence. Actually, I'd say it like this. What is faith? If you look in the Old Testament, that word can mean to build up. It can mean to support. It means to be established, to be permanent. So it talks of something that's a foundation. Something that's underneath, that supports. In the New Testament, it really means confidence, assurance. It means something that can be relied on, persuasion, what we read before in 2 Timothy, persuaded. So faith is something that's tangible, and it says what? It's the substance or the foundation. Something that supports what? What I hope for. So, what gives my hope this assurance? What gives me this what allows my hope or my expectation to be able to see something that I don't see? It's my faith. It's my confidence. It's the assurance of something I don't see. And that's important because faith, well, let me say this another way. Let's look at this. Faith is the substance of things. Say things. Things what? Not seen. Let me ask you something. If you're believing for things, could things be healing?
Yes.
Could things be money?
Yes.
Could things be peace?
Yes.
Could things be something that you need wisdom or direction?
Yes.
Right. But things have to be, you know, I asked this question, what are things? And somebody yelled out, things are all everything. And I went, no, that's not true. Because that's like saying things everything. Well, everything is not God's will. So it has to be something that we know is God's will. Then I can have faith for that thing, right? And it does what? Things not seen. So if I have faith for something, it's not seen. I can't see it yet. So that's important because if I have faith for something that I cannot see, then like healing or prosperity or money or I'm calling something in, I don't see it yet. But I expect it. You know, I've shared this. I've had some experiences in God. I'm thinking of one now where, and I've had a few, but I'm thinking of this particular one, where this is many, many, many years ago, I wasn't feeling well, and I was home. I had a very high fever. I was congested. I probably at that time, because of the symptoms, I probably should have gone to the hospital, but I did not. And so what I did at the time, I'm dating myself, we were using cassettes. So I played this cassette. It was by Brother Hagin. I don't even remember what it was. I just popped the tape. And I would play it, click, turn the tape over. Play it, click, turn the tape over. I played it and played it and played it. Not once. I played it and played it and played it. 24 hours straight. Didn't, just was not sleeping, I wasn't feeling well, kept playing it, and 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 faith came. I mean, what happened was, it was like a volcano down here. It erupted up out of me. It was so tangible. It erupted up out of me and tongues came out of my mouth. And I said, I've got this. How did I know? I knew. I knew. I was convinced I had it. But I didn't see it or feel it. I still felt nasty. I still felt ornery. Not ornery. I felt sick. But it was such power. It was faith. It was substantive. It wasn't something I was thinking about. Yeah, I got faith, I got faith, I got faith. No, it was faith that came up out of me. And it came from continually listening and listening and listening and listening and listening and listening and listening till faith came. And when faith came, persuasion came.
Yes.
Confidence came of something I didn't see.
Yes.
And I knew it. I knew it so much, I dragged myself out of bed, got in the shower, cleaned up, and came into work. I couldn't sit in a chair but 15 minutes. I was so weak. But I dragged in. I said, I've got this. I wasn't thinking maybe I had it. I had it. It was tangible to me. And I knew it. I knew it. That's faith. Faith is not some little wishy-washy, willy-nilly, I think I got it. No, when faith comes in your heart, You are persuaded. You're persuaded. And if you're not persuaded, then you need to get more in the Word. You need to keep feeding and feeding and feeding and feeding till it comes. Because when it comes, you can't be shaken off it. See, you can't be shaken off. You're convinced. And it's that persuasion that gives substance to what you don't see. You are so persuaded, I got it, I'm moving, I got it. You see, that's what I'm talking about. That faith gives substance to your expectation. Amen. You expect it. Why? Because of my faith. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. And that faith is real. It's real. And that kind of faith is the kind of faith that pleases God. And we can see it's not just a principle, but we begin to see that kind of faith when you start going down through and you see here, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and he did what? He prepared the ark. Yes. He wasn't just thinking, he was warned of God. Faith came, and he was convinced that what God said was so. And he began to do something. He moved. That's what we're talking about. When God speaks to you or God puts faith in your heart for something, you move. Why? Because you're convinced. You're persuaded of something you don't have or something that's yet to come. You're convinced of it. I'm telling you, I've been in a couple of tight spots. Real tight. And it looked like I was done for, as they say. And yet, he spoke to me and said, such and such. To the flesh and my senses and my thinking, it looked like I was done for. I remember just in 2000. When I came home from vacationing with my parents and family, I was in the shower. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. That's 6 months. And I was in a lot of pain, but I was standing and had stood for 1 year in pain. But see, he knew something I don't know. Or didn't know. So I did. But I was prepared to stand. But see, you better get direction from the Lord, because if I hadn't, I'd be dead. So that's what I mean. It's not foolishness to stand in or against circumstances, but you better get direction from God. And I'm not saying that you fear these things. You don't fear them. Perfect love casts out fear. And our love of God and love of Him casts out the fear. Amen. But we need to get direction from God. That's what I'm talking about. When we get direction, we know His will, we have faith, and we're convinced. But when you look at verse 6 in Hebrews 11, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to who? Have faith in God. He that cometh to God, what? Must believe must believe what? That he is. And when we do, he's what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So it's not just having faith in some principle. I need to come to him and believe that he is. And he's a rewarder. He rewards those that come and believe him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's important in times we live. Come to him. Believe he is. And he's a rewarder of those that have faith. Faith in his will. Not just having faith in anything. See, because he could turn around and say, did I promise that? And if he didn't, then how's he going to reward that? He's not. So, it's important that we have faith in God. Now, back up to verse chapter 10. And look at verse 22. Verse 10, chapter 10, Hebrews. And it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for what? He is faithful that promised. God is faithful that promised. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians. I want to look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse 13. And it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So, real faith, the God kind of faith, as we began to read in Mark 11, 22 and 23, the God kind of faith believes in their heart and doubts not and speaks. So, real faith will say something. You'll believe and speak. And that's what this says here. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Think about this. The scriptures talk about something that out of the abundance of the heart, if it's in abundance in your heart, you're going to speak. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And so, if it's in you strong enough, it will be in your mouth. You'll talk about it. And so, real faith, the God kind of faith, believes and speaks. So, it's important to think on that. Turn over to Luke chapter 17 for a minute. Luke chapter 17. And I want you to look at verses 5 and 6. But one of the things, as you're getting there, one of the things that Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, he said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And that's a good question. He says he's really talking about faith or trust in God. Now, when we talk about faith, let's look at verses 5 and 6 in chapter 17. This says here, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." And what was the Lord's response? He said, "And the Lord said, if you had a lot of faith." No, it says, "If you had great faith." He said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed," what does it say next? "You might say." So we're back to the connection of believing and saying. He said, if you had faith as or the size of a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So, how much faith do you need? It says here, the size of a mustard seed. It didn't say you needed great faith, but you needed faith the size of a mustard seed. And when you do, you say, you might say, right? So, faith, the God kind of faith, changes things. You don't need much. God gives us all a measure of faith, that mustard seed faith. So it takes a small amount of the faith of God, and we can see that here in this example, in this scripture verse. So faith is a living thing, and faith will work if we work, if we speak. Speaking, if you think about this, scriptures bear this out, it says, I believe and therefore I speak. So when you speak, it's your faith speaking. When you speak, it is your faith speaking. In the positive or negative, you're either speaking life or you're speaking death, but it is your faith speaking. Faith in what? Faith in whatever you have faith in. Do you have faith in God? Then you're going to be speaking words that reflect that. Or do you have faith in something else? It'll reflect in what you're saying. Amen. Your words are your faith speaking. Amen. Let's take a look at something. I'm trying to condense some things here. Turn over to back to Hebrews here for a second. Hebrews 11. When you look at the accounts in Hebrews 11, let's focus for a moment on Abraham and Sarah. In verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. So he doesn't have it yet. He hasn't seen it yet. He did what? He obeyed and he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. By faith, he, Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham had to do what? He had to operate in faith. And God gave him some instructions. And of course, you know, you can go over to Genesis and we can look at that. But he gave him some instructions to get up, leave his family, leave his area, and go out at God's direction. And then when you look at Sarah, it says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength. How did she receive strength? She received power. She received strength to do what? Conceive seed. Now, if you read the story, she was past age to even conceive, to bear a child. So her physical body needed a miracle in order to even be able to do that. How did she receive that? It says, through faith also herself, Sarah herself, received strength to conceive seed. I believe, is it in Genesis 17, somewhere around there? Or it was 18. Yeah, Genesis 18. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, at the appointed time, your wife will bear a child next year. And what did she do? She laughed. So that doesn't sound like she was in faith, does it? So she wasn't in faith. She laughed. And the Lord said to her, she laughed. You laughed. Why'd you laugh? And she denied it. So now she's lying. So you know she's not in faith. So somewhere along the line, she got it corrected, didn't she? Somewhere along the line, she believed God. Because it said here, Sarah, through faith, Sarah herself received the strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. So somewhere she got on her knees, hit her face to the floor, and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I missed it. I judge you faithful. She had to have. So it's important, when you read these stories, we've all been there. We've all been a Sarah somewhere along the line where we haven't believed God, we haven't trusted, and he said something's going to happen in your life or this or that, and you go, yeah, right. Right. But we need to judge him faithful who did what? Who promised. And even though he may not have spoken to us by his Spirit, this is God speaking to me. So when you turn around and say, God's not going to do this, or how could God do that, you're calling him a liar. We've all done the same thing that Sarah has done by not believing his word. Because it's God speaking to me. And so we need to do what? Judge him faithful who what? Who promised. You know, real faith, when you think about this, what miracle do you need? Her body was past age. That means it had gotten to the place where she could not bear children, could not conceive seed. Could not. The body was physically not able. How many have received the doctor report? I'm sorry, it's not possible. But God said to Abraham, with God all things are possible. He said that right in Genesis. So when something is spoken to you that runs up against the promise of God's word, what do you judge? What do you judge? Do you judge the report bigger or greater than God's promise? Real faith, a mustard seed size of faith, can change something, can instantly change or allow you to receive power to conceive, power, strength to change something. So his power to change something in your body can come from a mustard-sized seed of faith. No matter how big it looks, no matter how great the problem looks, this says here, just a mustard seed grain of faith can change it. Do you think a mustard seed, if a doctor says, I'm sorry, there's no other thing we can do. Do you think a mustard seed grain of faith can change your kidney? Do you think it could change your liver? Do you think it could change your heart? Do you think it could change something in your body that appears in the natural that's not fixable? See? Faith causes the power of God to be released in our body. That's what happened to Sarah. Sarah received strength to conceive. I have that particular scripture is I'll get that in a second here, but there's some other translations that are exciting because it says she received not just strength. Yeah, here it is here. This is the Amplified. It says, Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child. The Jordan translation, it says, Sarah herself had a full-term pregnancy. Even though she had passed her menopause, she was sure all along that God would carry through on what he had promised. So in other words, the point is, her faith caused the power of God to change her body so that she could conceive and have a child when it was not possible. And it doesn't have to be that. It can be anything in our body that the doctors say, not possible. I'm thinking of one young girl, the family that moved, they were here, they moved out to go to a Rhema Bible Training Center. This is years ago they went, and they have a little daughter. She was real small. She's still small. She's 23, but she's short. And a little firecracker. And Jessica used to wear an insulin pump on her. She had intravenous and she wore it all the time. She had to have a pump that would pump insulin into her body, otherwise she would die. And it needed to be pumped in all the time. She went out to Rhema, their family did. They started going to, you know, the Rhema church. She started going, I think 3 years ago, she started going to Rhema Bible Training Center. She's since graduated, and now she's going to Oral Roberts University. But a few years ago, we were talking to her dad out there, and he said, he was giving us, you know, the report on Jessica. He said, she went every day to prayer and healing school. After she'd go to college classes at the Bible Training Center, she would go to prayer and healing school every day. He said after 2 years, her pancreas started to work normally. She don't wear the pump anymore. It just started to work. See, faith will change and reverse conditions. Faith is tangible. I don't care what it looks like. Faith in God, a mustard seed size, will change a condition. It'll change it. And so for her, his dad said, yeah, there's just one little thing that has to be corrected in the pancreas, but it's working. Her pancreas is working. No need for insulin anymore. Amen. It's working. Amen. It's working. Years and years and years of not working don't just start to work just because. It was faith in God. And faith in his word caused her pancreas to start working. See? And that's why this faith gives substance to something I don't see yet. Faith gives substance. It's convinced, it's conviction, it's persuasion of something I expect. Hope is not just a desire. That's a worldly definition of it. Hope is an expectation. I expect to receive this. Why do I expect that? Because I'm convinced. I'm persuaded. My persuasion, my faith, gives substance. It gives support. It undergirds what I expect. That's why. I'm expecting it. Why am I expecting it? Because I have faith in God who promised. And so I'm always excited about Jessica. She's just, I mean, when you see her, she's just full of life. Full of life. And energy. Lots of energy. And no pump. No pump, no insulin pump. Amen. I'll tell you, it excites me every time I see her. Turn over to Galatians for a second. I want to just look at this here. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And look at verse 6. Now look at this verse here. It says, even as Abraham did what? He believed God. Abraham had faith in God. He believed God. And because he believed God, in other words, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to believe God. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Look what this says here. Even as Abraham believed God, what was the reward? And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they, which are of faith. Sounds like me. They that be of faith are what? The same are the children of Abraham. Hallelujah. So when we operate in faith, it is accounted to you for what? Righteousness. It is accounted to you for healing. It is accounted to you because I come, I believe God. And it is accounted to me, the reward. Hallelujah. So for us, it's believing God, having faith in God, trusting God, trusting Him. And when we do, faith comes, I can expect the answer. I can expect it. So you can't just have faith just because you believe. You can't have faith just because you believe. You've got to believe in something that God has promised. It's either in His Word or by His Spirit. Glory to God. I'm going to stop. I just think we've had enough. I want you to kind of meditate upon that. But the key for us is having faith in God. Amen. And having faith in God means I have faith in Him, in His Word, something that He's promised. That's where faith comes from. Some people have more faith in the conditions than in God. And the more you feed upon the Word of God, faith will come to such a degree. And you know, I think when I say it that way, it makes it sound like faith is, I don't know, I'm going to just say it this way. When faith comes, you'll know it. When faith comes, you'll know it. Why? Because it has substance. It's when you're convinced, do you know it? Yes. That's what I'm talking about. When faith comes, conviction comes. You're convinced. So you'll know when you're convinced. You'll know when you're convinced about something that God promised. You're so convinced that somebody telling you the opposite, you go, thank you very much. I have this. You know, if you were convinced, and here's the difference. You know, sometimes I don't like to use natural examples because I don't want it to come across the wrong way. But if you were convinced about money that you had in the bank, you're convinced of that. The difference is you know it. You have it. You have a bank account. I'm talking about being convinced of something you don't have yet. Something you don't see. Something that you don't have, that you don't have in your physical possession yet. And that's the kind of faith that pleases God. That when you don't have it, and it's not in your hand yet, but the conviction comes that you do have it, when it looks like you don't, where does that come from? It comes from His Word. Something that He paid and shed His blood for. That He wants you to have and walk in. That kind of conviction is ours. And faith is something that will come the more we meditate in His Word. I'm just, boy, I tell you, it's exciting to me. That's why when this faith comes, that's why when Mary said, when he said to her the things that he did, when the angel Gabriel came and spoke those things to her, the angel of the Lord came, she said, "Be it unto me according to your will." So when God speaks, you know, there's stories and accounts not only in the Bible, but just in modern times, maybe not during our lifetime, of men and women of God that God has spoken to, and they have nothing to walk on that they can see. There's no evidence of any kind of support other than God spoke to them. And they move out in what? In faith. Just resting upon that. And it can be scary to the flesh. But when God speaks, confidence comes. Confidence comes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, when one thing I would encourage us all, I'm disciplining myself to do it when I wake up, through the day, when I go to sleep at night. I make a disciplined effort to say, "Thank you, Lord. I thank you for this, whatever you promised me. I thank you for this coming to pass. You promised it to me. And I just want to remind you and thank you." You know, it'd be a good idea to just do some things. If God, in his word, turn over here for a second. Turn over to Colossians. I'm sorry, Galatians. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3 and look at verse 13. It says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.'" And I have a colon after that, so the thought continues. "That" what? "Because cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Why? "That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Now let's go over to 1 Peter. Go over to 1 Peter 2, 24. It says, "Who his own self," is talking about Jesus here, "bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." If I were healed, then I am healed. I'm not going to be healed. I was healed. So we can profess with our mouth that as long as I live, I will never have cancer in my body. As long as I live, I will never have kidney issues. As long as I live, I will never have cardio or heart problems. as long as I live, I will never have diabetes. How can I say that with confidence? Because he said, by whose stripes ye were healed. As long as I live, I will never lack. As long as I live, I will never be broke. My cupboards will be full. My bank accounts will be full. I will never be short. And some folks will say, well, yeah, but Pastor, I have a condition in my body. I said, my body is healed. My body functions normally. We just got done speaking before. It said, we who have believed, therefore speak. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of something not seen. Even though your body may seem to have something in it, what I don't see is what I'm believing for. What I don't have is what I'm believing for. I say, I do not and will not ever have this. And my faith will cause strength to come into my body to change it. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about mind over matter. We're not talking about something like that. We're talking about faith, the power of God, the power of God coming into my body to change it. The same Spirit. Romans 8 says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, give life, strengthen my mortal body. So that faith will cause the power of God to come into me to strengthen and to heal and to restore that which is broken. It doesn't mean we're going to live forever, but I don't have to die sick. Amen. I don't have to die broke. Amen. When I get to the end of my age, if Jesus tarries, I can lay my head down at the pillow and just go. Amen. I don't have to die sick. The world thinks they have to die sick. Well, how are we going to die? Go through the Bible and read how they just... It says they gave up the ghost. Their spirit left their body. We do not have to die sick. And we don't have to die broke. Because Jesus promised us redemption. Salvation. That covers everything. Faith is the substance. It's the conviction of something that I'm expecting that I don't see yet. So therefore, I say, and that's why we need to say it every day, I say with conviction, I will never be sick. I will never have disease. I will never have heart problems. I will never have cancer. I will never have diabetes. Now, here's the thing I say with that. When you begin to speak those words, you give God and the Holy Ghost, who lives where? In me. The greater one lives in me. So when I begin to speak those words, I give God the right to direct me. So if I'm doing something in the natural that will violate natural laws, that will cause problems in my body, God may say to me, go exercise. He may say to me, don't eat that anymore. Because I'm speaking words of life out there, and I'm saying, he has to bring to pass those words in my life. He is going to help me cause those words to come to pass. He's my helper. And I'm making a profession of faith, and God, by his Spirit, is going to help me, direct me, to make sure those words come to pass. You see? He's going to help me. It doesn't mean I keep eating Coca-Cola and ring-dings and pizza and everything else and then confess that I'm going to have a healthy body. You can violate natural laws and cause yourself to be sick. You can be a couch potato and not get any exercise. I mean, just natural science tells you that's not good. So there's some things that in us making a profession of faith, God's already promised healing. He said, it hath been done. It's already paid for. And I need to profess it. I need to say it constantly. You know, when we go out to Winter Bible Seminar, we have the opportunity to hear men and women of God that are from all various parts. They've all graduated from Rhema, and they're out in various parts of the world doing missionary work, running Bible training centers. They're down in Haiti. They're everywhere. China, Russia. They're all over the globe. Poland, Ukraine. They're all various parts of the world. And exposed to all of the stuff that missionaries and those that are in those areas of the world are exposed to. And they tell their stories. How they were in this situation and would have died. I'm thinking of this one gentleman who's over to French schools in Quebec and Haiti. He said he ate some fish and he said he wasn't feeling too good. Went to the doctor, and they said, and I can't repeat it in French, but they said to him, bye. Au revoir. Yeah. It was more than au revoir. It was, yeah, it was like, yeah, sayonara, not sayonara, wrong language. But it was like, there's nothing we can do. Go home. And just wait for it to come to pass. And he said, I had to go back to my training, and I got my Bible out and started to read the scriptures and meditate in the scriptures and confess the scriptures, and I doubled up and tripled up. And he said, gone. See, and that's what I'm talking about. Faith will change the condition in your body. They're out doing God's work. See? So he's not a respecter of persons. And so whatever we're faced with in life, just speak his will. Confess his will. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.